Revelation 21, Revelation 21. I've been breaking this down. I started dealing first with eternity in the first message and how there are only two destinies of people. When you come to the end of your life, both are destinies for all eternity, not temporary dwelling places, but there's only one of two choices. From that, I've been dealing a lot with the fact that if we choose the Lord, the first thing is we get a new body. And not only do we get a new body, but we get a new land to live in and a new home to dwell in. And I started on Sunday dealing a little bit about heaven. I know where I'm going. I thought I would get there tonight, but you know, one thing you have to be cautious of when you're in full-time ministry. I deal with a lot of full-time people and full-time ministry people. If we're not careful, we'll forget that just because we're in full-time ministry and we love preaching, we love singing, whatever we're doing, we forget that people's got to get up at 4 o'clock to go to work the next morning. And so while I don't feel rushed, and I don't mean to cut anything short, I do respect the fact that people give their time to be here. So I want to be able to try to give you what will stay with you. And this is building up to some things because God spoke to my heart some things about when we get down to the capital city and some of the descriptions that we'll look at in this. It won't be tonight. I wish I could say it would be Sunday morning. I promise you, I'm getting there. And you say, well, how long are you going to stay there? I don't know. Maybe till I get to heaven. But in this environment we're in right now, it just feels good to get to preach about a better place. Talk about a better land. And heaven is sweet. I have to tell you this before. Is it okay if I just give you one? I saw something. I told Candy about it yesterday. I saw something that I haven't seen in my 43 years of ministry. Never, I tell you, it just never ceases to amaze me how God gives us what we need when we need it the most. I was approached by a family on last week. A son called and said that his mother was near death. And he said, I'd like to talk to you, and left a message with the staff. I called him back. He said, can you give me a minute to step out in the hallway? Long story short, his mother was near death and said, Dad, if mom could have anything in this world, she's been a devout Christian, she loves the Lord, she could have anything in the world, what do you think that she would want? And he said, I tell you what your mother would want. She would want Calvin Ray Evans to preach her funeral. Buddy, I told her, I said, sign me up. And I said, you let me know. The next morning he texted me through and said, Mom, just went to be with the Lord. We'll be making arrangements. They contacted me. And she had been sick for 6 years. And for 6 years, our church, through our live stream and evangelistic outreach, through the television programs, had been her only source of communication with worship at all. And that's why she felt that way. She said, he don't know it, but he's my pastor. And I had written her little notes. She would write me notes, and I'd write her back notes, just jot her notes. I had met her in worship a few times before illness. But back to what I was going to say. When I got there, I don't know that I've ever met a family that was any more loving or gracious than what this family was toward. He had been married to her for 61 years, her husband. He absolutely adored her. You could tell. He just adored her. Isn't it sweet to see people been in love that long and they still love each other that much? And he did. You could just tell. It wasn't what he said. It was his actions, everything. And they just made me feel so honored to be able to preach her funeral. And we had a wonderful funeral as far as a celebration and the fact that we knew she was alive. We drive to the cemetery. It's an old historic cemetery. And it goes hand in hand with what I'm preaching. That's why I'm sharing this. It's an old historic cemetery. And she has a prime plot on the backside of this great cemetery there in Lawrence County. And when we get there to the cemetery, he comes up to me, feeble, you know, just in the meekest of ways. And a tear, just a little tear in his eye. And he said, now out here, will we open the casket again? And I said, to be honest, sir, I said, they have already sealed the casket. But I said, I know the director well. Let's step aside while people's gathering in. And when I called the director over, I said, just ask him. I said, Sean, he's got a question he wants to ask you. He said, is there any way that you can open the casket? Of course, he's thinking what I'm thinking. He wants to put something in the casket or maybe changed his mind about people have sometimes a necklace on or a ring on and maybe changed their mind. And he said, sure, I would be glad to. He said, do we want to do that now? And we talked it over. I said, how about after we have the committal, we just linger behind just a little bit. And I said, would that be okay? And I said, I'll stay behind with you all, with your family. He said, oh, that would be perfect. He said, this is just something with me. And he looked at the director and he said, well, I better tell you. He said, I'm not satisfied. He said, I want to kiss her one more time before that I plant her in her plot. I stayed behind and I watched his boys get on both sides. And the undertaker, he raised the lid of that casket. And I watched him bend over and kiss her on the forehead. And he said, I know where you're at. I'll be along in just a little bit. I'll be along in just a little while. Thank God for the hope of heaven we have. What would we do without that? And you talk about the presence of God ushering in. My, what a mighty time we had there at that cemetery. About to have a spell in a graveyard. And God is good to us and helps us. And he's given us these words to remind us that as age presses on and loved ones die, that's not the end. All he could do was kiss the imperfect part. But there's coming a glad reunion day. I know that. And he tells us about it here in this particular chapter. Can I read just two passages of scriptures to you very quickly? In chapter 21, I left you with verse 3. Let me read it again to you. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is, underline the word with men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell, there it is again, with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Three times. He stresses that, with them, with them, with them. Don't overlook that. Then in chapter 22, let's just look, if you will, maybe at verses, maybe 3 and 4. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall, what's the next two words? Serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Well, dealing with this new heaven, a new earth, and what it's going to be like when we get our new body. One thing I want you to see right away where I left you on Sunday is we will be with him. See, right now we can only get so close to him. I know he's in us. I know as a believer he's in us and we're with him. But still, in a tangible way, we can only get so close to him. But when we get with him, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we're finally with him? There's times where you'll have to agree with me, we're not always with him. He's always right there for us, and we're the ones that step out of line, but we're not always with him. But then we'll be with him forevermore. Do you know what that means? That no longer will we have to have scriptures to guide us, we're with him. No longer will we have to have ordinances to keep communion, we're with him. No longer will there have to be laws to govern, because we're with him. to say that he's right there amongst us and with us. How many of you will agree with this? Over the past several months, almost a year, some of you went a year before you got to step back into this church. And I know you watch faithfully on live stream. I know you appreciated that. But would you agree when I say that, as wonderful as that is, it's still not the same as getting to be with everyone here in church. It's a lot better being with one another than it is. I know it can't be helped at times, but it's a lot better to be with one another than it is just watching what's going on. Right now, all we can do is imagine what's going on in heaven and what it's like to be in the presence of God. But one day, all of that will become reality and we'll be with him in that day. Oh, what glorious day. And what does it mean to be with him? The first point, I read it to you from the next chapter, the last chapter. We shall see him. To be with him, we shall see him. Verse 4 of chapter 22. And they shall see his face. Now, I don't want to make anybody angry tonight. That's not my goal. And I'm not going to ask you this question to answer out loud. But if you come to me and told me right now, I saw the Lord face to face, I would silently find a way to get away from you. Because that would be against what the Word of God teaches us. John, in the book, in the Gospel of John and in 1 John both, the Bible very plain, no man hath seen God. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It goes all the way back to the teachings of Exodus 33. You remember when Moses wanted to see the glory of God and God hit him in the cleft of the rock and he passed by and he said, no man can see me and live. There's a reason why we can't see God right now. Because we can't, first of all, he's a spirit, and the only way you can see him as a spirit is by him clothing himself. What does God, what does the Father look like? Well, anyone that ever got, there's a few glimpses of him, but they didn't see him face to face, physically. Spiritually they may have, but physically they didn't. And I'm going to explain to you why. Because God is a spirit. You don't see a spirit. A spirit has to be clothed in something. For example, let's take the opposite of it. A demon, a devil. A devil doesn't have hands to commit murder with. If that spirit is a murderous, killing spirit, that spirit needs hands to do that with. You know, if that spirit has a ability to commit particular acts, that spirit can't do those acts of the flesh because the demonic spirits are spirits. So they have to have flesh to play out their desire. That's why they seek you. It's the same with God. The only way that they caught glimpses of him is God had to put a garment on for them to be able to see him even when he passed by. And it was so great that you remember the face of Moses had to be veiled. I am in the book, aren't I? Help me now. At the Mount of Transfiguration, there was that brightness that was there because they got a glimpse of the transfiguration of Christ himself, the glory that came upon him. Well, let me ask you this. What does God clothe himself in then? Psalm 104 and verse 2 said, referring to God, who covers thyself with light as a garment. You can't see a spirit, so for God to be visible, even to get a glimpse of him, he covers himself with light. That light is like a fiery light. Hold on before you write me off altogether. Would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Referring to the glorified Christ, which shows us a little bit about him. The glorified Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And go down to the 15th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. Now this is talking about when he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the glorified Christ. He's referring to the glory of God. And he says this, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the what? Light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Well, what's that saying? He has this bright, fiery, light garment that he puts on. It is so bright and so fiery that there is no need for a sun in heaven. There's no need of a candle in heaven. It illuminates, I'm talking about the glory of God. God, shrouded in his glory, illuminates the whole nation. He illuminates the whole dwelling place. And the thing with that is, here's the problem. We are now composed of combustible material. We're composed of material that disintegrates. A lot of you worked at the steel mill. You knew there was a distance you got. And if you got too close to the fire, you were in trouble. You know as well as what I do, put these bodies through intense fire and they will melt. Can I tell you why that no man's seen God? We are like kindling. We would ignite in the presence of God. Our mortal body cannot withstand all of God's glory at one time. His glory is too great for us to be able to even comprehend this. But we would die. We would have to cease to exist. Our bodies cannot stand to be in the glory of God in his fullness and in his brightness, but one day we're going to get a glorified body, and here's why. When we get a body like his body, we'll be able to see him in his full glory, and we'll be able to stand there in perfect holiness in that day with our new body. Only then shall we have the ability to see him face to face. We shall see him. We shall not only see him, but we shall serve him. That's the text that I read to you. We're going to serve him. Well, how are we going to serve the Lord, preacher? Well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're not going to serve him the way that a lot of people think that service is. Our service in heaven will not be like our services here. There is a reason why we call this time Sunday morning 9:30, Sunday night 7:30, Wednesday night 7:30. We call this our service. We're in a church service right now. You ever wonder where that phrase comes from? We often heard it said, well, you don't serve the Lord here. You leave this place to serve the Lord. But the truth of the matter is we do serve the Lord here. Our service to the Lord here is a taste of how we're going to serve him in heaven. Every time you read John the Revelator, when he starts talking about the redeemed in heaven, which is what we're focusing on, the way that they serve, heaven is a place of worship. Worship and worship and worship and worship and worship and more worship and more worship. And he's saying we're going to serve him because all God has ever wanted from us from day one when he created man was man to be able to worship him, to see him in the beauty of holiness and worship him for who he really is and what he can really do, and understand that he is worthy of all the praise that we could ever offer him. Down here, we've got to get everything just right to worship God. But the truth of the matter is, in heaven, we're going to worship and never get tired. Our voices will never get weak. Our spirit will never get weary. Our bodies will never get tired of praising God. While the ages roll over and over and over, we'll join the angels and say, worthy is the Lamb that sits on the throne. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We'll never get tired of worshiping God. We shall see him and we shall serve him. You will never be any greater in the eyes of God than when you're offering worship to God. I don't care what you do. I could preach until I'm blue in the face. But God is more pleased when I worship him than anything else I'll ever do. By the way, your worship is not limited to just this service. You can worship him in the morning, worshiping through the day. You can worship him in the good times. You can worship him in the bad times. Oh, worship him. Worship him. I was talking to Roger Boldman today, and I said, Roger, one thing about your wife, every time that I have prayer for her, when I finish, I'll raise my hand. She's got her hand still up, saying, oh, Lord, I love you. You know how much I love you. She can hardly breathe, and there she is trying to tell us how much she loves the Lord. And he said, why, preacher, if she goes down the hallway, she's constantly saying, Lord, I love you. Oh, help me, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Let me say this to us. We're way behind on our praise, and we better get used to it. If you like what went on for just Sunday night, what's it going to be when it never stops and just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going? Because we'll be able to serve him with our worship. Let me give you one more thing before I quit. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, Jesus is allowing us to see how that he has entrusted the good man of the house, and how he goes away, the master, and returns again. It's a picture of when the Lord will come back one day. And he said that he'll bless those that are watching when he comes. The master, the owner, will bless them for watching. You know, God will bless you just for watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be watching for his coming. Any day, any moment, the Lord could come again. And he confirms that there's an added blessing to those that are faithful in watching for the coming of the Lord. You'll find it in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. The Bible said, blessed are those servants. Who's the servants? The one I just told you about. That's a picture of us serving the master. In heaven, we'll serve the Lord. That's blessing enough, isn't it? To get to think, I'm going to serve the Lord forever and ever and ever. I'll not be hindered in any way. I'll get to serve him forever. But he doesn't stop with that. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he, who's he referring to? The master of the house. He's really referring to himself through this parable. That he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and, what's the next two words? Serve them. So one great thing is we will see him. The next great thing is we will serve him. But boy, when I think about this, the final thing is he will serve us. Can you imagine the Lord handing you the biscuits in heaven? Can you imagine God breaking bread with you? What a time Jesus said, I tell you that you'll not eat of this again until we sit down anew in the kingdom. And he said, we'll sit down and break bread together. Won't it be something when he takes those nail-scarred hands? All God's children are gathered home, sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord doesn't call on Michael or Gabriel. The Lord takes the bread himself and blesses it and breaks it and serves us with his own hand. Oh, to take bread from the hand that was nail scarred and to be able to eat of that bread. He serves us in that day. He will serve us. You'll say, boy, I'd like some more to drink. The Lord will say, just a minute, I'll get that. You say, man, I like seconds of that. The Lord will say, just a minute, I'll get that. He's giving himself as a picture of the one that is over the servants becoming the servant. He serves us. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong image here. It's not that we are worthy. It's that we are blessed. Who are we that he should serve us? Who are we that he should do such a thing for us who have sinned against him, done wrong? And I don't care how holy you are, your holiness cannot stand up to his perfect holiness. But he still let us in. And then as we offer our service in praise to him, he says, I offer my service to you. He'll give you what you need when you need it. You'll never be in want. You'll never be in fear. You'll no longer have a need for an intercessor or a mediator. You'll no longer have to pray a prayer asking for anything. He'll serve you. You'll no longer wonder, when will I get this? He knows all, sees all, does all. He'll serve you. In his resurrected body, the first thing he did, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, he sat down with his disciples and he had fish on the fire. Told them to come and dine. I'm looking forward to the day when I'll be able to serve him with true worship. And in turn, he'll serve us through the endless ages. Not because we are wealthy, and not because we are worthy, but because we are blessed. So go ahead and kiss that loved one on the cheek for the last time. We'll be together again one day. The Lord will call and we'll answer.